Hey, welcome to the Bull Gap Journal. This is Robert Holmes. Some of you know me as Bob, Sylacauga native and a proud veteran, having served this nation and now just a dedicated community citizen at large. On the Bull Gap Journal, we talk about life, leadership, and common sense. And today, I've got Mr. Chad Jones with me. Some of you, probably many of you know Chad Jones here. He's the CEO and president of First Bank of Alabama, which is the oldest bank in the state.
The oldest in the Southeast.
The oldest in the Southeast.
And the 33rd oldest in the nation.
All right. Those are fun facts that I'm learning today, so that's really good. I think a lot of you do know Chad and his family here. He was born and raised in Talladega, then went off to college at Troy State and studied marketing and finance, and then got into the banking world. Started at a bank in Troy and then moved around to some banking in Atlanta, Georgia. And then made your way here, in 2007 toward the First Bank of Alabama?
Yes,
good
sir.
Deal. I invited Chad in today. Again, we salute and acknowledge the wonderful job that Chad does as a bank president and CEO. But here we talk about leadership in life. And so I wanted to talk to you, Chad, today about lessons that you've learned or things that you might share that's important. And I'm going to call you out here as being a well-known and well-respected community leader.
Thank you. Lay it on me. Let's hear about it. I have a lot of employees that hope that I don't mess this up. And
We can write them a disclaimer and say.
That's true.
No, but you are a respected leader in the community. So let me ask you one question as we start into this. And this is a surprise question. I don't tell folks the questions that I'm going to ask beforehand because we want to get that deer in the headlight looks, you know. So do you think leaders are born or made?
I'm going to go with made.
Yeah.
I really think that is tried and true because Jack Hawkins, chancellor of Troy University, I remember sitting in his office in early of 1993, trying to make my decision on where was I going to go to college. And I had applications and approvals and acceptances to Alabama, Auburn, Troy, and a couple of smaller schools as well. And Dr. Hawkins brought my mom and myself into his office, and I didn't realize that some of the things that I was doing, whether it was through the Key Club or SGA and small things, that just being a part of our community at the time while I was in high school, I didn't see myself as a leader. I didn't understand what leadership was.
Right.
But Dr. Hawkins pulled leadership out of me. And he looked at me and he said, "You are a leader and you're going to be a great leader." As I continued at Troy, I was telling this story just the other day. I've always told my kids it's not always what you know, but it's who you know as well, because it's the who you know that will put you into situations that will make you shine, that will make the organization, make the community shine because of what you bring to it.
Right.
And that's what Dr. Hawkins was doing for me at the time as an 18-year-old trying to find my way and trying to figure out where I'm going to go to college, what am I going to do with my career, because quite honestly, I thought I was going to be a lawyer.
Yeah,
and then I realized, well, you have to really enjoy to read, and that just didn't do a whole lot. And then you had to be. Then I said, well, you know what? I'm going to be an accountant. Well, that involved me sitting behind a desk, you know, the old proverbial bean counter, and I didn't want to be the proverbial bean counter. I wanted to be out shaking hands, kissing babies, and making
things
happen.
It's about relationships.
It is about relationships, and so he put forth that leadership thought process. And I go off and join a fraternity and learn Robert's Rules of Order and become part of the SGA there at Troy, and very quickly ascend to some leadership roles as soon as I'm in there. And it was just he helped make me into a leader. And so I think leaders
and that
are
defined
made.
You. I mean, he helped you define
absolutely
who you are and what you became and what you do now.
So. Yes, sir.
You know, I know that we've discussed even before we started here a short while ago about the importance of John Maxwell and the leadership principles and nuggets right. of wisdom that he throws out there. And Maxwell says that leadership is influence, nothing less, nothing more. And so that means it's about the relationships.
It is.
And so we try to make sometimes leadership into this checklist. If I do all of these things and if I get these merit badges in leadership or this, that, and the other, then I'm going to be a great leader. It's still going to go back to what you've been able to put together, like your mentor advised you about how to build and, right. and become the kind of person that will exhibit leadership and provide leadership when it's necessary.
Well, and I put this in a short writing yesterday. And it says, whether in leadership, parenting, or friendship, the action builds integrity and it grows from consistency. So nice. The more consistent that you are with your leadership, your friendship, your parenting, all relationships, the consistency in that relationship is what builds even more integrity. It builds the trust and credibility. It inspires others.
Right.
It inspires others to say, you know what? I want to do what John Maxwell is preaching. And John Maxwell teachings are very rampant throughout First Bank of Alabama.
Good.
We have multiple leadership book roundtables right. that go on throughout the bank. I think right now we have five different ones that are going on, whether it be in branches, departments, or interdepartmental. Some executive team discussions that are always happening, but we follow the Maxwell leadership.
Good. Well, you all know, the way through. I've had two, maybe three First Bank employees in the Leadership Sylacauga classes where I do workshops right. for Laura over at the Chamber
right.
for the Leadership Sylacauga class every year, and we take a lot of Maxwell
right.
And put it in there. And in fact, when I visit with your people and come in the branch there, they'll ask me about how Maxwell is doing, so it's all good, and I appreciate that because, you know, Maxwell makes it understandable.
Sure.
I fell into Maxwell because after I got through with over 30 years of being taught and right. told how leadership would work in the military thing, and then I went into business, the defense industry, and got right. a taste of business leadership, and then I went down to Faulkner and got a master's in leadership and management,
right.
And so I looked at all of that, and I looked at the academic, and I looked at the things, and I said, all of this really boils down to just practical understanding of what it takes to lead,
sure.
To make yourself lead yourself mm-hmm. first, and then lead other people. So I tend to take a sort of a shade tree
right.
mechanics approach to leadership. We make it more difficult than it needs to be sometimes.
Yeah, what is it Truett Cathy says about we're in the relation, or we're in the people business, and we just happen to sell chicken sandwiches.
That's right.
Same thing that we do over here at the bank is we're in the relationship business. We're in the people business. We just happen to sell money.
That's right.
And growing leaders out of leaders.
Right.
You know, we want the people who want to be a part of the First Bank of Alabama family.
Right.
And I'm not talking about just an employee. I'm talking about the community members, the people who are our customers. We want them to be our customers because they understand who we are. They understand that whenever our mission statement is about making better communities through empowered employees, that's what we want our customers
Great.
To understand, because that's our why. And whenever we get into why is First Bank of Alabama, has it been around since 1848?
Right.
It's because we have a flag in this community, and we want to see this community grow. We want to see this community be better because of what we do today. They'll be better tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And so that's what we look for whenever we're hiring people, whenever we're bringing customers in. If we're knocking on your door, and wanting to grow a relationship with you, it's because we've identified you as someone that aligns with our why. And I look at that and take that as a badge of honor, to be honest with
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. So you're keying on this interesting word of why. So it reminds me, and I think I know the answer to this, you know, Simon Sinek, who's a young, well, he's probably more towards middle age now, right. But young when we started reading a lot of his works on leadership and organizational behavior, wrote a book about, you know, what's your why?
Right.
And ask yourself that question. So it seems like you're getting into that with your folks, your team at First Bank and the community.
So I can, again, we coach and we walk through the Maxwell life. But Simon Sinek, his TED Talk has been played four times that I can count on various dates. And it's about the why.
Yep.
And so our executive team looks at it, our employees look at it, and we all look at it from the understanding of we get what the why is. The why is this family that we call mm-hmm. community. And you don't have to be blood related to be a family member.
Right.
We call ourselves a family at the bank. We take care of one another. We have our spits and our spats.
Of course.
But we have our makeups and we have our understanding of what happens. And it's whenever we understand what's happening in our communities and how we can be a part of investing in our communities and making our communities that much stronger, I don't mind telling you, this is our mission statement. First Bank of Alabama will be a financially strong community bank with excellent service through empowered employees while creating a positive impact in the communities that we serve. That is our mission statement.
Right.
And we live and walk that mission statement. And whenever we call to action that we're going to live that mission statement, it's like I finished up with my writing and I was telling you about earlier. In the end, the most powerful message isn't spoken. It is lived.
That's right.
And that's how we live in our communities at First Bank of Alabama is we live in the leadership and the constant improvement in our communities that we're serving.
Right. So the point that you're making there is in setting purpose, setting vision with that question about why are we doing what we do? Why are we the people we are? Then becomes to me the starting point for anything and everything you do as a leader or as an organization. You know, I mean, when I'm talking to people, even whether it's personally or in a business or organizational climate, the first question I really always try to pose for them is, why are you doing it?
Right.
Don't tell me what you're going to do. Exactly. Just tell me why you're doing it.
Sure.
And don't tell me how much money you're going to make or all of that. Go back to why are you doing it? And it sounds like that's an important part of your recipe for leadership.
You can pull in all types of leadership books of Who Moved My Cheese or Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Absolutely.
But even in Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, you start with the end in mind.
That's right.
And whenever you know what the end in mind is, you know your why.
That's right.
And so you can take all of the leadership books and pull them all together.
Exactly.
And you don't need somebody up on a TV screen telling you that you're going to be powerful and mighty and you'll do all great things. But you need to understand your why.
Yep.
And whenever you understand why your purpose, what is your purpose? Why are you driving mm-hmm. what you're trying to drive? Whenever you understand that, everything else just falls into place.
Right. So you mentioned end state or what is it going to look like when it's over. I called it end state. I always think that's important because that will also help you define purpose and answer that why question. Very important to be able to articulate what it's going to look like when it's all over.
Well, so. We certainly don't get in the car and just start driving.
Right.
With no end in where we're going.
That's right.
We have a roadmap. We understand if we're going to the beach that we need to drive down right here on Highway 21 or 231, however you want to, until we get to Montgomery, and then we get on the bypass, and we go and get on 65, and we follow 65 until we get to the exit we want to go to.
So for me, that's strategic planning in a nutshell.
Yes.
Okay? I know where I'm going to go, and I'm going to build this roadmap.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be that difficult. Now, academia will tell you about, I've been through all the books, and I fall asleep. You know, so I try to boil it down to make it Bob simple so that I can even explain what I'm doing to people, you know.
And
so,
it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be a three-ring binder that sits on a shelf that you might knock the dust off every now and again. What you need to do is start with that end in mind, understand your why, follow your leadership, let things fall in place, and update it, and continuously talk and understand and improve yourself, because whenever you're improving yourself, you're improving the others around you.
So you said something a moment ago. There were two things that you said that your experience with your team at the bank. One is about this commitment to community, to make communities better. So that's that social, corporate social responsibility that you want to build that thread into the fabric of your organization. And then the next thing, and I want to dwell here for a minute, was you mentioned empowering your team at the bank. How important is empowerment?
Empowerment is self-appreciation. Empowerment is self-motivation. Empowerment is really teamwork. Mm-hmm. It's trust. It's credibility.
Absolutely.
And it can be measured. And anything that's worth doing should be measured. We've just finished up with our year-end assessments of how did we perform in 2024. And some people are really excited, but then there are some people who say, wow, you know, I really have something I need to do something.
So getting people to commit, empowerment is very, very important.
Yes.
But when you empower, the other piece of that, and you just mentioned it, is being able to account for what you've done.
Yes.
With this empowered situation.
Responsibility.
Okay. Responsibility. The tough part is to say, okay, I'm going to empower. But then the tougher part is to really set the measurements in place, stick by the measurements, make them mean something. Because you're right. I think if it's worth doing, it's worth counting, measuring. And again, you know, I point to a lot of organizations and companies that spend thousands of dollars to develop strategic plans, and they sit on the shelf, and nobody knows what all 500 pages of that strategic plan says, and they absolutely don't understand the thousands of line items that are there right down the Excel spreadsheet, when it can still be boiled down to make it, again, what I call Bob simple, so that I can understand where we're trying to go, you know. So as we bring this to a close, I'm going to go back to the why. And we have people that watch the Bull Gap Journal, particularly young leaders, emerging leaders. So what would you offer them as a life lesson or a skill that you would surround about asking yourself that look in the mirror and say, why am I doing what I do or whatever? What would you offer to those people?
Mine's always knowing that I'm not perfect. And knowing that I'm not perfect brings me to my number one thing that I know that I can always rely on and lean on. And that's faith.
Yeah.
I can rely on my faith. I can rely on my family. And I can rely on my friends. Because they're not always going to pat me on the back and tell me everything's okay.
Right.
I want those friends and family members to certainly tell me, you've messed up. You've done something that you need to change. And change is hard. Change is very hard.
It is.
But relying all the way back on the very first part, faith, in knowing that no one that we encounter any day is perfect. And as long as I'm not throwing stones at a glass house, that helps me to continue to walk through the life that we are walking through today. Right. And be a better person today than I was yesterday, and be a better person tomorrow than what I'm being today. Make small changes, and those small changes will eventually capitalize on themselves. And it's like stacking up pennies. If you start stacking pennies, before you know it, you're going to have something. And don't ever miss the opportunity to pick up a penny.
I agree.
You know, because that penny that you didn't pick up, somebody didn't want it.
Will.
Yeah, and somebody else is going to pick it up if you don't. So certainly pick up on the small things in life, but realize that don't let life pass you by.
Right.
Because a job is a job. But you'll never work a day in your life if you love what you do. And if you love what you do, then you're in hopefully in a community that loves what you do. And you're in a family and you have friends that love what you do. And with all of that, then faith ultimately drives where you go.
So this is uncanny, but you must have talked to my wife, Colleen, my coach and partner, in that what you just said in the last 3 to 4 minutes was a discussion last night about how Bob at 77 years old could still learn some things to be a kinder, gentler Bob, and that maybe I needed to stop and learn. So I really appreciate your saying that, in that it's a lifelong journey.
It is.
And faith is a very important piece of that. So excuse me for using that personal example, but
no.
I'm kind of wondering if you called Colleen this morning and talked to her.
I didn't, but I'll say one other thing that that I think probably a lot of people need to hear this, because for too long, we as males have always thought that it's a bad thing to have emotions and feelings and things of that nature. And it's not. It's okay to have emotions. It's okay to cry whenever you need to cry.
Yep.
And don't be ashamed of it. You know, stand firm in your faith and your values.
Yep.
And live life.
Well, one thing that warriors learned on the battlefield is that even hardened warriors cry.
Absolutely.
And I was just reading a very close personal friends of mine piece on emotions and how emotions can impact you, even when you're that stoic, hardened military leader or warrior. Yeah. You've still got emotions that you deal with. So,
absolutely.
Okay. Well, listen, Chad, thanks. When Chad's not in the banking business and being a community leader, you can find him out hunting, fishing, probably on a golf course somewhere. You and your wife, Elena, live on Logan Martin Lake.
We do.
You'll have to come down and visit us at Lake Martin sometime. But
we'll reciprocate.
Hey, Chad, thanks for being here today.
Sir.
This is a great discussion, and we may have to revisit this in the future and have some more chats like this.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for joining us on the Bull Gap Journal. Again, we talked about life, leadership, common sense, those things that sometimes escape us, but they're just the simple things that make life better for the folks around us and ourselves. If you like what you've heard, go to radioalabama.net/bullgap. Thanks for joining us.